and welcome to episode 211 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, a place where the small press makes one hell of a big noise. I'm Vince Hunt, creator of The Red Mask from Mars, and I'm here with the creator of the webcomic Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
And our very own master of Kung Pao, it's Tony Esmond.
Back from the dead.
Yes, that's right, folks. You missed him last week, but Tony's here. We said he'd be back.
Yes.
And we've been looking forward to this. I mean, obviously, me and Dan we've had a proper conversation with him.
I've told you the juicy bits.
Yeah.
I shagged a couple of nurses. That's how it went, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. God. But welcome back, Tony.
Thank you, man. Yeah, and everyone was really kind, actually. I would say I got like loads of like messages and comics sent through and Get Well cards and like really, really nice. Really, actually, genuinely touching. It was like a...
Yeah.
It was actually nice. I sort of thought I'd better put out there that I'm in hospital because people started sending me their comics through to a review and all this sort of thing and then asked me why I hadn't reviewed them. And I thought, oh, I better put something out on there. Yeah, that I'm in hospital. And as soon as that happened, it just sort of exploded. I couldn't see for the start of it. Someone was sort of reading stuff out to me. But yeah, it's really kind. And I'll tell you what, though, the staff, Luton and Dunstable, the staff were brilliant, I have to say. Apart from one person almost killed me, but the rest of them were... We're actually really, really nice.
I thought you just sprinkle that in.
Yeah. Just throw that one in there. Yeah, the one who wrote Neil by mouth and then wrote the wrong thing on my notes and, yeah, everything else. But the rest, I've got to tell you, we're lucky here. They're good people.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, really nice people. A couple of Addy and a couple of the guys there and the girls there were just, like, spot on, really kind. Yeah. Yeah, so it's good. I spent about a week and a half in there, but I think I'm still alive now.
I know we certainly said on the last show that one of the things that might have been driving you up the wall was that you couldn't concentrate on reading comics. Could you?
Yeah, I had double vision for a couple of days.
So that's like taking away almost literally oxygen for you, isn't it? Not being able to read comics.
Yeah, it was, and it's strange. You can't concentrate on anything. So everyone says, "Oh, you can listen to podcasts," and you can't. You can't talk a mogul going on sort of 5-10 minutes or something. It's just weird. My mind wasn't with me from a big chunk of it. It's fair to say, not that it ever has been, but it was slightly distant from me. I was a strange character for a couple of days. But the ward was like full of people mad as frogs. And I wasn't even like in a ward for mad people. Do you know what I mean? Strangely. Yeah. The bloke opposite me, I think, did I send you a video? I can't remember who I messaged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was like, he should have his own podcast. It's good.
The ward cast.
He would make imaginary phone calls with the remote control that you use to turn the television on and off.
And, we've all done that.
Yeah. We've all done, you know, like, oh, he says you're a wanker. Bye. You know, he's got that. But these were like the most elaborate things you've ever heard. He kept ringing Prince Philip. That was one of his favourites. And but it's not like he just rang Prince Philip. He rang Prince Philip, spoke to the receptionist for some time, who he seemed to know as well. And I'm thinking, what the fuck's he doing over there? I'm watching. And then when I speak to you again, I'll speak to you again soon. Oh, hey, Phil. And then he talked to Phil. And then he talked about Phil and his mutual friends from Norfolk who were going to come down and see them. And then he started apologising to Prince Philip for trying to set fire to Buckingham Palace. But this wasn't like a minute. This was like 15 minutes of phone call.
Jesus.
It was just like an act of genuine genius.
So did he ever call him Prince Philip or was it just Phil? He's on first name terms with him.
Well, he was calling him Phil, and then afterwards he was shouting. He used to shout a lot at stuff, and he was shouting about how he just spoke to Prince Philip, and he'll get Prince Philip down on them and all this sort of thing, you know, if you made a noise. The bloke to the left of him kept pointing at the window and shouting, rats. That was his favourite thing, and this gave this other guy the hump. Just sort of sitting there.
Understandably.
Kept sort of pulling the curtains and thinking, what the fuck am I doing here? Do you know what I mean? And I couldn't go anywhere because I was sort of attached to things. And this was all sort of going off around me.
Jesus Christ.
Tony, like, I know you've got a lot of work on with comics at the moment, and certainly you've got some projects on that are bubbling away, which are hugely exciting and stuff.
Yeah. But
I think you're onto a possible Eisner winner if you turn this into some sort of graphic novella.
Yeah.
It's an award-winning book.
Let's just put it this way. It's not the sort of place you would sleep unclothed.
Yeah.
Be worried. Do you know what I mean?
I'd be worried generally.
I mean, yeah. The idea was kind of like a sane man, like in a bed, like you can't move because all this stuff, and then to be surrounded by people like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to fucking go mad.
And then there's this guy in the other bed. There's only four of us in the room. The other guy in the other bed just sort of disappeared at one point. I didn't know he could get out of bed. And I was speaking to one of the nurses and said, "Where's that geezer gone?" And he goes, "Oh, he's run off." I said, "What happens if people run off? Because you're obviously there voluntarily, kind of, aren't you?" You know? And he says, "Well, we go and look for them because they might not be very well." He won't be.
Yeah.
I said, "Okay." And then he came back pissed. Oh, I thought, that's going good, isn't it? Yeah. That's doing well.
Good one there.
Yeah.
Perhaps he got a bit concerned that Prince Philip was going to drop in.
Jimmy Jangles from Norfolk. Jimmy Jangles was quite a constant appearer in these phone calls. Don't know who Jimmy Jangles is, but he was good. I think he's in that little video I sent you, Jimmy Jangles, is mentioned.
Fucking hell.
Jimmy Jangles. Now, I think we need to have a fan art thread on the Facebook group. We want to. Who is Jimmy Jangles? What does he look like? You know, let us know. Let us know.
Well, I'm all right now. Back at home.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Yes. Yeah, thank you, everyone. It's very nice for everyone. Everyone's very, very kind.
Yes.
Got quite a few cards and a bit of art and some comics and messages and stuff. It's nice. Yeah, it's nice.
Well, we're glad to have you back. And
thank you.
Definitely.
Well, and back on the show, obviously.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, me and Dan do what we can when you're not here. But,
it's not the same when there's one of us missing.
Really, you're right, yeah. No, yeah.
No. And this week...
Doesn't feel right.
It's all three of us. It's three amigos.
Yes.
That's all it is. That's all you get.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all you get. But in other places, you get a lot more. Do you know what sort of places you get more?
Is it the side of the hospital? Oh, right, yeah.
No.
Rats! Rats! Shut up, mate!
That might be a thread through the whole of the show. At any point, that word could be dropped.
You just turn to your other half and say, just put the pillow over his face.
This other geezer kept going, "Nurse! Nurse, oh, fuck me, mate." So the nurse would come over. You go, "What do you want?" You go, "Nothing." And she walk off. "Nurse, oh, fuck me, mate. Shut up."
Yeah. I was worried at one point I'd call you and you wouldn't come over. So I've got to constantly test it. Fucking hell.
Oh, dear. Do you know what doesn't drive you up the wall, though? That's our sponsors, Comic House.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. They sponsor this show and help keep the lights. Got them, and they help keep the lights on. And thank you very much to them. But they're also the indie comic marketplace with a difference. They do a lot of work for the indie community, which I think a lot of people can agree with. On the website itself, basically, if you're an indie comic creator, you can submit your comic. You know, you can put it on there, list it for free, and it's just another avenue to sell your books. And there's loads of stuff on there, and it's growing all the time. But they also have an app, which is growing in a database all the time, because if you've got digital books, you should also upload them as well. Yeah. Because the app is a subscription service. For only £3 a month, you get access to all the digital books on there, one of which I may be talking about a bit later on the show. and so much more. I mean, there's work from all of us and a lot of our past guests on the app itself. What sort of stuff is on there at the moment, Dan?
We've got Cadavers issue 3 from Mad Robot Comics, Miscellaneous Anthology from Martin Simpson, The Penguin Tension from Alan Henderson, The Show issue 3, Lost Time volume 1 issue 2, Broke Down and Four Dead Bodies volume 1 issue 2, and SCI Superhuman Crime Investigators volume 1 issue 2.
Nice. There's a lot of fresh new ones on there, isn't there?
They're building up a lot of sort of series. You can like follow a series now, which I kind of like, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that Four Dead Bodies one looks quite interesting as well.
Yeah, I saw the advert for that today. I must read that.
Yeah. So there's loads of stuff being added all the time. Thank you very much to Pete and the Comic House guys for just keeping on with it, because they do this. That isn't their full time gig. You know, we've all got full time jobs, so they're really putting the word out for comics. So, like I said, it's a subscription service. You can have a 14-day free trial, and if you want to find out more, then go to comichouse.com. So there you go. That wasn't too bad, was it?
Yeah.
It's terrible when we've got to pat ourselves on the back for an ad, isn't it? But
Mahoney's after last week's episode jumped back to number 2.
There you go. That's down to us.
I think a lot of people went and read it and enjoyed it. It's a solid read.
Yes, it was. Thank you,
John. You can read it on
John Otway said he smashed it, and I'm going to say, John, you want to read it first, man?
He's back. Yes, and we're all back. And like I say, it's a Three Amigos show. It's just the three of us. And we decided earlier in the week, if we're all going to be here and it was just all three of us, let's do something. We haven't done something like this for a while. We've done a couple of like Q&A sort of episodes before, like, you know, getting their listeners to ask us questions about comics and stuff, not like what's your favourite flavour of crisp. But what is your favourite flavour of crisp?
Salt and vinegar.
Dan?
I can't go wrong with that. Prawn cocktail, good.
Oh, Dan's my boy. Yes.
It's like ketchup to me. I hate it.
Oh,
really? Okay.
Hate's a strong word.
It is a little bit strong there, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm not as salty anymore since I've been away in a hospital. Not in prison, obviously. Don't believe those rumours. I'm not as salty as I used to be. Although I did get the irk today, which we'll talk about in a minute.
Well, to have some salt and vinegar crisps.
Oh, I wish.
Oh, you mean salty as in... So
yeah.
Don't worry, that venom will return.
I almost forgot what we were talking about just then because we got into crisp chat. So
crisp cask.
There probably is a show like that, and they probably get a lot more listeners than us. Yeah, but we don't care because you people are listening to us, and we put a shout out for questions, and it says a lot about our listenership and how it's grown since the last one we've done this sort of thing. Because we got inundated with loads of questions. Loads of fantastic questions. So if you sent one in, thank you so much. Because we literally had Tony collated a list and we had to pick through them. So we're going to say from the outset a couple of things. One, we're not going to be able to answer all the questions. If we were going to answer all the questions, you'd get a one sentence answer and it wouldn't be very satisfying. So
Yeah.
So what we've done is we've picked one each, a topic that we can delve into.
And we got one extra.
Yeah, and we got one fun extra one as well. But thank you to all the questions because there was a lot of good comic and process talk. So
good stuff.
So what we might do is we might put them on the Facebook group, Awesome Comics Talk, and sort of get a thread going there and get some discussion going there.
Yeah.
But for now, you're just going to have to deal with what we've got. So the other thing to mention is whatever you hear over the next hour or so is just our opinions. We are not professionals in this game, you know. We're passionate comic makers, etc., and we hugely value that anyone thinks the stuff we say is any kind of advice, you fools. But yeah, from the outset, you know, everyone's got their own way of doing things. Everyone's got their own sort of opinions and stuff. So hopefully this will create discussion.
Don't have a go at us. No. If you don't agree with us, that's fine. Don't
We don't have people that have a go at us normally, do we? So
not really.
We're all right,
don't we?
I was grumbling about calling it the female Thor. And I was like...
Oh, sweetie. Essentially, she's got Thor's powers, but Thor is the actual name.
Thor is the dude's name. It's not a...
Well, it's just the name, not the dude's name.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was that guy for a second, wasn't I?
But like, you can kind of like take the title of Captain Marvel or Nova or Captain America, whatever.
Yeah.
But Thor is Thor's name, and I can understand you're going to do it for branding reason. You want to keep the comic called Thor, so fine. But I read the reason why, and it was only in a Wikipedia, but it didn't really scan for me.
To
me, like. This is the other thing we discussed in the last few days. We're not talking about movies. We're not interested.
No, yeah, we're not going to do movies.
This is a podcast about.
Yeah.
But I will say, Marvel Comics, why is there not an Eternals comic, a Master of Kung Fu comic, and a Hawkeye comic being pushed in my face right at this moment in time? Why are they not doing that? Yeah. There's a big disconnect at the moment, and there's a hole in the boat, and they need to fucking fix it. Well, start thinking about selling good comics.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that a bit later. Like, why are they drawing stories from the oldest classic stuff, which is like absolute cast iron great?
Yeah.
But they're not doing it from, well, you can't say that with Hawkeye, but do you know what I mean? It's kind of, there's a disconnect going on. And we should pull that apart later in this episode of the Awesome Comic Podcast.
But, you know, of course, we're all movie fans and stuff in our own time, but this is a comic book show. It's always been a comic book show. So that's mainly what we're going to talk about.
Good.
But with that in mind,
should we start with you, V? Should Should we start with your question?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Do you want to do that now? Do you want to move into that?
Yeah. Well, do you want to read it out? You are the question master, Tony.
Ah, good. So this is from Gareth Slighthome. Thanks, Gareth. Also, thanks, Gareth, for giving us a shout-out on Radio Humber this week.
Yes.
Ah, brilliant.
Yes. Yeah. We're going to shout him out early instead of the shout-out section.
Yeah.
Because, that was a brilliant appearance. You didn't have to mention us at all. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it was very kind of him. It was very eloquent, and he got over everything I personally would want to get over. And it's nice that the guy was so enthusiastic about British comics as well. He's like, it was the right audience as well there, wasn't he?
He's going to be a future guest. For certain.
Love his stuff.
Love his stuff. And if you don't know who we're talking about, go and check out his work online.
It's amazing.
Because he's about to take off.
He's working. There's no secret. He's working with Pat Mills at the moment.
On Space Warp, isn't it?
And I don't think I'm giving anything away, but rather than sending me a Get Well card, Pat and Lisa sent me some artwork from it, and it looks fucking amazing.
He put up some of his designs. Pat put up some of Gareth's designs on. Good.
Yeah,
I think everyone pitched for it. Like, what would you do with this? Yep. And then Gareth's artwork was like, "Here's the winner." There's no contest. It's amazing.
Yeah, he put a lot of effort into that as well. Yeah, really.
I've got a sheet of A4 where he's done some redesigns on the Pendragon's armor from Vanguard, and I've got that framed because it's fucking ace.
Yeah,
I didn't win any of his art at the raffle. Actually, I was a bit pissed off.
Oh, I was so pleased about that.
Yeah.
I'm very lucky to have a couple of bits as well. So.
Yeah, and he's revealed there's something happening with you and him. Not in a romantic way.
Oh, yes. We're eloping. yes, but that was awesome anyway. But yes, the question was from Gareth. What was it?
The question is there a genre you feel is seriously underdeveloped or underexplored? Have you any ideas to add to it?
Okay.
So, what do you think?
Right. I had one genre that came to my to the forefront of my mind when this, which just... It's not necessarily a genre I know much about, or...
Is it dogging?
Cottaging.
Vince knows a lot about that.
I think romance comics. Now, I'm going to... And I say that as someone that doesn't have a history with romance comics.
Well, there's not that many to have a history with, really.
Yeah, and certainly, maybe, you know, as we always say on the show, there's probably people talking into their... sort of iPhones or whatever now, sort of saying, well, what about this book? What about this webcomic?
There's a million manga ones, and it's absolutely crushing it.
Yeah.
There's a few you could classify Lost Girls as a romance comic.
Okay.
Possibly.
Yeah. I mean,
there's a few that...
There's lots of romance subplots, but not romance comics.
Yeah, that's true.
I think, you know, and whenever I think of romance comics as well, I know Brubaker and Phillips, they were... Have they worked on one? I remember when we spoke to Phillips at Super Comic Con a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I can't remember. I used to read their stuff in trade. There's not that when there's elements to their work there, but there's no sort of
I know Phillips wanted to work on a romance comic, didn't he?
He wanted to hit all the different genres because that's why he did the Kung Fu one and the Conan one. And
excuse my ignorance. I kind of see romance comics as like a doughy-eyed innocent girl who kind of goes after like a hunky dude.
Ignorant pig.
like from the 1970s kind of kind of comics.
More sort of, you know, there's a you call a plumber, he comes around.
Okay.
It's not going to be Confessions of Tony. That's not romance.
I think Marvel and DC did a few, didn't they? 50s, 60s, 70s, you know, early 70s. They did like true love type stuff.
Yeah. And I know certainly, you know. Example. Yeah, that like when the EC boom and stuff like that, you had the horror comics and they had the war comics and there was romance comics. You know, they were hugely popular. You know, people, I think not enough people know how huge some of these genres were like 40, 50 years ago.
Even Pat talks about writing for him.
Yeah,
for comics. So
that genre comes immediately to mind as someone that hasn't necessarily read some. But, you know, I'd be probably more open to reading that sort of stuff now than I probably would be 10 years ago.
You're quite romantic, aren't you?
I love a rom-com as well. You know what I mean?
But when you look at it that way, how many rom-coms are like super popular? You know, why was there not a comic of fucking Notting Hill or something? Do you know what I mean? There's got to be a market for it, surely.
Yeah.
People buy fucking colouring books.
And I think as well, it doesn't have to be, you know, flavoured with a genre. It doesn't have to be, this is a romantic comedy, but they happen to be super powered. You don't have to have that. You know, this is a romantic comedy or a romance story, but they're supernatural characters. No, you know, why do you think just the straight romance stories aren't necessarily...
Who was it who wrote a romance about a man and his dog? Was it King?
I'm not familiar with that one.
What, Tom King?
Yeah.
No, are you thinking...
There was one that was like just really weird. Was it by him? I can't remember now. Was it Christoph Gage or something? I can't...
It could be. I'm thinking of a different story, and I think that's more of a crime one that...
Right. So I think the problem, what you're saying there as well, is that people, they write a romance, but they think it's got to be combined with something else.
Yeah,
okay.
You know, and there's a lot of slice of life comics out there, but not all of them, and not many of them are about, like,
romance.
A guy meets a guy or a guy meets a girl or whatever it's going to be. Do you know what I mean?
I think
there's a big market for that.
Yeah.
People love to hear a kind of a positive story.
I did notice when they had a romance sale on Comixology, I'd have flicked through it, and it was almost, I think I counted it in the first page, it's like 8 out of 10 were LGBT+.
Okay.
I think maybe that's seen as an area that they want to sort of explore and talk about. And,
yeah.
You know, people have, you know, that, you know, want to talk about it, don't they? They want to explore it. But I think perhaps there's not that many heterosexual mainstream comics.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah.
I mean, Love and Rockets is essentially a big mess of love stories, isn't it? You know?
Yeah. And some of my favourite sort of, like, you know, Dan talks about the subplots. Some of my favourite ones have the more sort of romantic angle, you know, whether it be like...
Oh, the Dark Phoenix saga, man.
It's a
three-way romance between three people. That's the arc of that story.
I remember Liberty Meadows by Frank Cho.
Yeah.
You know, you had Friends in Paradise.
You
have all this, you know, nonsensical, and you get the funny characters, but underneath it all, there was a romance story between two characters, which I loved, you know, just following that.
Yeah. Spidey. Like, this the team love drama with the superheroics, or vice versa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sort of between Gwen
Do you think it's
and
easier
Mary
then to sort of take that genre as a subplot rather than to have that as the main plot?
I suppose because it exists in all lives anyway, doesn't it? No matter, unless you live in your mum's basement and you don't go out.
Yeah.
There's very few lives that don't have some kind of romance element to them, do they? And it's a scene to be part of fleshing out a character. He will have a partner or won't have a partner, or she will or she won't. Mm. You know, and it's like that, isn't it? It's got that's part of our lives these days, isn't it? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, and although I say romantic comedies, you know, the straight up romance stories, you know, what are there ones out there that are worth checking out or following up on, you know, or maybe a slightly different take on the genre? Because, you know, you have these big mainstream films, I don't know, like The Notebook, for instance, absolutely enormous. So many people know it. And, you know, why is there a story that has that sort of tale in a graphic novel format or something like that? You know, that would be quite interesting. I could see, you know, someone like Oni Press or, you know, one of those.
Yeah. I don't read enough manga to know, but I think you're right, Dan. I think that is where it's living at the moment.
And webcomics. I'm sure there's lots of webcomics out there. So, let us know if there's any you need to check out. But what about you guys? What do you think?
My one is, and it comes out of what I was talking about a minute ago with Master of Kung Fu, is there's not enough just straight-up spy martial arts books.
Yeah.
You know, there's not. And I think why after the big announcement today, which I'm obviously hugely, or yesterday, I'm excited about, you know, it's a movie, so I don't care as much. I would like to see, if someone said you can either have a good movie or you can have a good comic series, I'd say give me the comic series now. And I want a good Master of Kung Fu, or I want a good martial arts comic. The Iron Fist stuff has touched on it, but it's more, you know, it's still that superhero thing. You know, I think there's so many good martial arts films out there, and, you know, people who follow it and stuff. I think it's, you know, somebody like Mike Baron knows what he's talking about in martial arts, you know, because he's a martial arts person himself, and
And you get, you know, we've had books like Infinite Kung Fu, and, you know, they're so heavily about that. But
it was well thought of, you know, really well. Yeah.
It's got a real rich history. There's a real loads of stuff there to kind of tap into. I've been reading a book to my son, like Myths and Legends of the Martial Arts, and some of the stuff in the stories in that are just fantastic.
Yeah, Usagi's still, it's a little bit, but it's more of a samurai historical thing, isn't it? You know, and a lot of the times it's more of a sort of magical or a detective thing sometimes in Usagi, certainly at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously I touched on it with what I did, and the next book I'm doing with Cliff Cumber touches on it, and there's martial arts in that. But the other one that I came up with is sports comics. Rock of the Reds, I'm not a sports guy, and I haven't really played many sports, you know, in the last 20 years, but the Rock of the Reds really opened my eyes to it, about how exciting a comic can be, you know, that, you know, waiting for that.
We
was
all over that. That
was
I honestly thought, when it's like an alien space, like space football comic. I was, no, it's cool. Getting it after the first issue, couldn't put it down.
Yeah, I mean, and like you watch a football match like you're watching a football match in it. Yeah, you know, it's like it's that tension to it, you know.
And I know certainly Roy of the Rovers is getting a fresh lease of life at the moment, isn't it? That sort of that genre and stuff. And when I was a kid, I had my Roy of the Rovers phase. You know, I definitely did. And you know, the storytelling is great in those sort of books if you can get it right. You know.
Yeah. Fantasy sports as well.
Yeah, here's something I think you'll agree with me, Tony.
Yeah.
Dan Butcher, I want to see you do a sports story, but it's like Rollerball.
Oh, I'd love that. Oh, I'd love that, mate. Fucking hell. I'd be all over that.
Yeah. I know we're not doing film or TV, but like, I'd love to do a TV series of Rollerball. I could definitely make a comic out of it.
Could easily do that. A different game every week.
Yeah. And then
apart from the remake, don't mention that.
Yeah. No. What remake? Oh, there you go. I think you should do that, Dan. I think you should.
I'd love to
create your own bloodthirsty sport like that.
Yeah. There's more of that. It's a manga as well. Fantasy sports, which has a manga-esque quality to it, has got. Yeah. I think they play volleyball in the first game. You know, it's soccer. You know, but it's played by magicians with like fiery balls.
But once again, like the world of manga and stuff. If you look through a Comixology browse,
I'll be loads on
there. There's a book that always catches my every week, and it's about fencing. You know, they'll deal with sports that you don't necessarily think about.
And
it's always worth a browse if you're interested in sports comics. Do have a look for them because they are out there.
I mean, how popular netball is at the moment.
Yeah.
How popular football, male and female, is at the moment. You know, there's got to be, come on, 2018, there's got to be an opportunity to do something just other than this sort of very anodyne version of Roy the Rovers.
And also, if it's not like a sole sport, if it's a team sport, you've more automatically got built-in drama.
You've got cast there already.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Yeah, I don't know why. Perhaps it's just kind of like a unwillingness to take a risk and a gamble, but
I think it plays to the weekly release as well. The sports comics sometimes.
Oh God, yeah.
I think
what the manga stuff has got going from as well is the way they illustrate action and speed and dynamism in their comics really kind of comes into effect. And
it's like that Shaolin soccer stuff. Kind of effect, isn't it?
Yeah, indeed. So that's kung fu and football.
That's brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah, it's brilliant. That's a great film. Fucking, we're talking about films again.
Yeah.
All right. And what genre do you think is under development, Dan?
I think maybe like the police procedural stuff. Okay. You don't really see a lot of that kind of stuff.
Just Gotham Central or something like that. You know, those.
But like just kind of removed a bit from the kind of the superhero angle and just kind of a bit more kind of real. I don't know. I get stories about war. But none about just kind of.
Are you talking about like more of a constant, lots of different cases rather than, because there's been many sort of crime books, you know.
But kind of like say like a Starsky and Hutch kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where it's like a pair of cops, or police officers doing their thing.
Yeah.
Each week, and it might be like a rolling case over
most
four
of the time,
issues.
Most of the time in comics as well. Because I see a lot of sort of buddy cop sort of stories, but they're always, and one of my favourites is The Fix, but all the cops are always dodgy in some ways. They're always in, like, there's something to do with crime. They're sort of like part-time criminals as well.
Yeah.
You don't see so many, they're just cops.
Yeah.
Maybe just there's like a great one Warren Ellis did with Jason Burroughs a few years ago called Scars. About a cop chasing a child killer, and that's like a really brutal but really well written book that he leaves on a cliffhanger for you to decide what happens. Really good book. Really? That's well worth looking at. Scene of the Crime's good. I'd say I like that book. There's a few. Joe Kubert's Jew Gangster, did you ever read that?
No, I never saw that one.
Really, really good. And then you got stuff like Goldfish by Brian Michael Bendis back when he was in his earlier days.
That was the one where he drew that as well, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he did that one, did he? I can't remember off the top of my head. But he drew a few of his stuff, didn't he?
Was it Jinx? Goldfish and Jinx, he did, didn't he? Yeah.
So there's some good... We could do with like a Marvel one. I'd love for a fucking... another sort of Gotham Central kind of book.
And that was one of those things that when they announced like a TV show, I thought, just do like an... it's almost like an NYPD Blue, but just set it in Gotham.
Yeah.
But
I mean, having one in the New York City in the Marvel MCU, like, yeah, that'd be great.
Could easily love a comic like that. You know.
Then they got to, like, they go to a scene where like the Scorpion's been on the rampage, and then they got to call in that Damage Inc. to start clearing shit up, and
go get the Owl in to interview him, and more, you know, that sort of thing. The Kingpin crime, you know, there's all that sort of thing. It's made for it, isn't it? Hell's Kitchen, it's made for it.
You say like one cop who wants to go really hard on the Owl, and no one's pointing out the fact that all the drugs he's taking is just fucking.
Then you like you're tailor made for like, oh yeah, cops have to deal with defense attorney. Oh, it's Matt Murdock. Oh God, not that guy. He just drives me nuts, you know. Or, you know, Jen Walters. Is Jen Walters She-Hulk, isn't it? You know, you can you know, you can factor in all these wonderful sort of character cameos that won't be superpowered.
Yeah, and occasionally you see that in Daredevil, or have done, and you see it, Charles Soule's written that, and he's written She-Hulk, hasn't he? And he's a lawyer, isn't he, as
he
well?
He is a lawyer. Yeah. Is he still a full-time lawyer?
Not sure, don't know. No,
but he's an amazing writer anyway, Charles Soule.
Yeah, really enjoying his stuff. Yeah, really good. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, yeah, that's, I think that's that series. I would read that. It sounds brilliant.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you can never make it now because we discussed it.
Yeah. Fuck now. Copyright's ours.
Yeah.
Good. Should we move on?
Yeah.
Yes.
So, next question, Joseph Simons. Thank you, Joseph. What are your thoughts on the physicality of the medium? I personally have what is almost a fetish, you know, you have, for the old newsprint / recycled paper of old comics. That and the muted and misaligned colours. What's your thoughts on materials and digital simulations, such as printed paper textures and the intentional styling of the work to look old school? So to look almost like old newsprint sometimes. Yeah. They give you that pattern, don't they? And that's his question. Thank you, Joseph. Over to you,
good
man.
Question.
Yeah.
We're going to go on to the Dan DiDio made a comment.
And we got this through Blake Northcote. I think he's like a comics journalist, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
And he said, we do these facsimile editions where we reprint older issues of comics, including all the old ads and stuff. And in some cases, these are selling more than the new comics with these characters. People are more interested in buying the stories from 30 or 40 years ago than contemporary stories. And that's a failure on us. We should be focused on moving things forward, always pushing the boundaries and finding new stories to tell. That's how we'll survive and grow in this industry. Personally, for that comment, you've come across a revelation in the first part, identify the problem. And then in the second way, you've gone a 180 against what you've said. Do you know what I mean? Is that not people interested in this, the old stories and the old way of doing it and the way of doing it? And then your way is like, what we're going to do is just carry on going forward and away from that and do new stuff and find... Yeah. Push the boundaries. It's like I think there's a bit of a disconnect there.
Yeah. Firstly, honestly, I think DC are doing better than Marvel creatively. Yeah. I find their books more readable. They're not constantly rebooted, and they're vaguely static in relation to creative teams. You know, in as much as you know, some you know you can be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I do think that they are suffering from that as well. I think they're suffering from the, you know, from what he says there. The people are just looking for the old classic story sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think what he's trying to say there as well is, if you boil it down to basics, people love the classics, and we're not creating enough new ones. You know,
they call them evergreen stories, don't they? So ones that will be on the bookshelf for a long time, like Saga of the Swamp Thing or something like that.
Yeah. And you know, if I'm speaking about DC, I'll name you two that I can think of, but I couldn't name any more. And I would say Mr. Miracle is going to last a fucking long time, and probably the Court of Owls with Batman. And that stuff. That's I can't name it. I'm not a DC reader though. But
I read a few, but I'm not. I think Batman's dragging. I think he's coming off that. I think Bendis is taken and running off with the Superman stuff, and I kind of like that. I think that Venditti's one of their most valuable players. I really do. I think his Hawkman and his Freedom Fighters and stuff like that. Hawkman's really good. The Brian Hitch stuff has brought Brian Hitch back for me. You know, some really outstanding double page spreads and, you know, really great storytelling in it and stuff and things like that. And beyond that, Teen Titans, okay, I hear some good things. You know, Flash seems to be pretty good. There's a few other titles that I read, but you're definitely right. I mean, Amiga Men, probably. I think that's got that. And I take it we're not talking about Vertigo here either, are we?
That's gone now.
Yeah,
it's been, But I think Mr. Miracle, which won another couple of Eisners this weekend, didn't it? reprint material and stuff. Yeah, I think that's an evergreen.
I don't know why they got rid of Vertigo. That I just absolutely bewildered at that. I don't understand it.
I think I think it's a sales thing. I think it lost its way as well. I think when
I think that's the problem. It lost its way.
Yeah.
They maybe should have. Well, I mean, it's easy for me to say. It's sort of that classic sort of backseat driver mentality of comic fans, isn't it? But, you know, maybe turn Vertigo into then now just going to be OGNs. They're just going to, you know, you're just going to put out an 80-page original Vertigo title.
Like European style on it.
Rather than doing monthlies. That probably would have been a more interesting way to sort of push Vertigo forward rather than just cut it off completely.
I would, maybe a bit controversial, I'd say Vertigo lives on in Black Crown.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. Time will tell with that.
Time will tell on that, definitely.
It's too early to say a lot of these.
But it certainly seems to have the spirit and the kind of.
Yeah, and what's the Karen Berger imprint over at Dark Horse? I know Sarah Harris Ding will be shouting at me now. But I've got it in my phone now, Sarah Harris Ding, because every time we mention her, we've got to say Ding, haven't we?
Yeah.
But be careful, I say that. There's a similar sort of thing going on over there a bit as well. A bit with like maybe Ahoy Comics, something like that, you know, as well. There's a few little imprints popping up that are kind of taking that mantle a little bit for me, you know?
Yeah.
Even Alterna has that element.
Yeah, you're right. I'd agree. I think we kind of strayed a little from Joseph's initial question about like the being on the older paper stock.
We're all print nerds, aren't we? We all love the print, and like, you know, whether it be the smell of the paper, the ink, and just the quality of like a hardcover sort of book and stuff with the printing techniques and everything. I'm all about that. So and certainly now, I think beyond just the shape and the size of a comic book.
Yeah.
Whereas 15 years ago, it might have been, you know, US size American comic books, that's where my heart lies. I've seen so many sort of great sort of takes on, you know, whether it be UK size or like the oversized ones or square comic books. You know, there are all these ones now that get my brain just turning over thinking, oh, I could do something in this format. Do you know what I mean?
And you write and draw differently for the different sizes. Like, we were talking earlier, me and Vince earlier, about British size magazine format sort of thing.
Yeah.
And you'll get more panels on a page, or you should do, because of the size of the page.
It's
not an American comic. Yeah. And I think that's where that Core and Buster, a couple of the stories in that fell down recently, is they were treating it like an American page. I think a couple of the pages needed more on them. But like a square comic as well. That's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
We were talking about paper stock earlier, before we came on.
Yeah.
Me and the three of us were discussing what paper stock we're going to use for an upcoming comic. And I've got like a swatch. And this is like the 15th time I've been through all these different pages, mix them, send it out to me, of all the different, you know, sizes and weights and, you know, feels to paper and stuff like that. It's great. It's really good stuff. And there is that nostalgia. And I want every comic I make to have a physical version of it as well as a digital version.
Yeah.
You know?
And I've very much increasingly grown to love the sort of uncoated, you know, the comic pages that aren't shiny, you know. I always say that one of the best smelling books out there is the Merrick the Elephant Man books, because they're fantastic. I mean, they're wonderfully printed.
And look at the paper we do for No Brow. Shout out for us again. But look at the paper and the care that goes into that, printing process. Gorgeous stuff. The spines, it's almost like a threaded in spine, isn't it? You know?
Yeah. It's great. There's so
many options available to creators and indie creators now.
Got to say, that kind of like the old stuff, I do love it, and I love picking up the old comics and stuff, but it'd be the same way as like I loved VHS and watching the tapes when I was that age, but now we've come beyond that. I always think that aesthetic, when you go back and think, oh, actually the picture quality is really crap and it's not up to snuff.
But compared to reading an old comic digitally though, have you read, I've done it a few times recently,
some of them are unreadable.
Digital version, you mean?
Yeah, the digital version. And I will say this, that I think if you're going to take like one of these classic runs, put a new set of colouring on it. Get some modern digital colouring techniques.
Don't know about that. I want to see it as is.
Well, the problem with that is, for instance, and you see it, I think there was a Thor You know that when they have those like 100-page special issues or whatever. So you add the modern story, and of course, naturally, they're gonna put Jack Kirby Thor pages.
John Buscema,
in the back. But the colouring is so flat on that. It just loses so much that it almost makes it look. This sounds like sacrilege to say it. It almost makes it look bad because you can't. Yeah. You don't have that. You know, you can't see the ink dots. You know, the printing techniques.
Yeah. Oh, I see. I see what you mean. Yeah,
I would rather see those.
That as well. The new paper is just fucking reflective. Yeah. And the worst thing about colouring techniques these days is everyone puts a flare on every single page. And like, sometimes that flatness is a happy medium between the two, isn't there?
There is.
Sometimes there needs to be that more flatness to the image sometimes. I'm tired of like motion lines and flares and, you know, too dark a page on too reflective paper that I can't read what's going on. I mean, I just read that Infinity trade, and I love the writer. Duggan's one of my favourite writers at the moment, but the pages were like a mess all over the place, you know?
I've definitely found that out about the glossy page.
Yeah,
I've been on fucking the train and like putting the book at an angle, trying to look at the bloody, trying to read the panel, because like the glare off the lights, it's like I can't fucking see this.
Yeah.
So that's definitely sort of paved my way for when I get my stuff done.
Hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's what makes some of like the indie, not well, the zine sort of style books, because it is mostly, you know, recycled paper or uncoated or something like that.
Yeah. You
know, those things have a real appeal to them now that they didn't necessarily like a few years ago, because printing techniques have improved so much, haven't they?
I was saying about recolouring comics. I can't remember what page it was, but someone. It might be a Mobius strip, and they redid the colors in like a new kind of way of rendering, and it was just like, that is just so wrong. It just looks so alien.
From
the original colors they put down, and like it's almost to the point of like, for me, vandalism. You've changed it so much.
Yeah,
it's not what it was anymore.
Because I know what you mean. I think a colorist, that especially when you're dealing with older work, there's a huge responsibility there. Do you know what I mean? Because the art will always sing, won't it? And that's the problem with a lot of, I'll say his name again, Jack Kirby's work, when it's on the digital sort of reprints and stuff. It loses it. The Kirby stuff sings on the original sort of newsprint.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's one of the joys about, like, you know, if you go to a Comic Mart, you know, I'm not collecting lots of, like, back issues. But I love going to those Comic Marts because I'll pick up some old issues, you know, from all kinds, all different kinds of series and stuff. And just the feel of it, the you know, the smell of those books, and just flicking through them, you know, just it evokes so many memories. Yeah. And like, you know, it's such joy reading through old comic books, even though, as Tony says, it's just dirty paper.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a nostalgia element to it. That's the reason we love it. And would a 20-something be bothered? I don't know. It's weird, isn't it? Because we've got a lot, let's face it, a lot of comic panels we've seen 100 times. And if someone recolors them, it's going to just look odd.
Yeah.
I think sometimes as well. It's like that Mobius page. It just looked odd to me. I didn't. I'm so used to the color style he uses that I'm. That's not right.
No, you know, it didn't fly.
You know, took me out of it. Yeah, completely.
They did the same with the Killing Joke as well, didn't they? They kind of fucked around with the colors on that.
Yeah.
I know he said he didn't originally want it like the way it was colored. But it's like, well, it's done now. It's been out there for like 30 years. I'm not doing a George Lucas on it there. But also kind of, I find the older stuff, when you've got like, you see a black and white artwork and it's got all the pencil lines and where it's been inked, and you can see the ink, a bit of the wash on it before it goes to any kind of colouring. That work is timeless. I think sometimes the colours on it date it a little, but if you've seen like an original page of comic artwork from like 1970s, the craftsmanship and everything just absolutely blows me away. And it's absolutely timeless for me. I used to have a friend, and he's quite well to do, and his mum had a couple of original pages on her wall and frames.
Oh, wow.
Every time I went, I was like, that's just amazing. It blew me away.
Whereabouts do they live?
Unfortunately, they don't live in it. I can tell you where they used to live, in Kensington Square. So
right, well, okay,
yeah. So they've moved now. So
I think don't noodle as well. I think if you look at someone like Chris Samney's work, you know, there's not a lot of noodling done with the colouring on a lot of that stuff, and quite right too, because it just overcomplicates a lovely line. Yeah. I think you've got to apply the colours to the art that you've got in front of you. You know, like none of this, like, oh, it's going to be super flared and super blended, and this is going to, you know, they're going to have a sunset behind them. Like, fuck that. It's a comic. I'm going to look at that panel for about a second.
Yeah. I mean, I've got to admit, I've sometimes used that as a crutch where I've done something and I'm not really happy with this. And then I've lent on the Photoshop stuff to kind of like get my ass out of a fire. But then that's a kind of an artist thing. And I think, did I need to do that? Or was it okay as is? And you kind of, I often say to myself, right, stop leaning on fucking Photoshop as a crutch to kind of.
Yeah.
Is that classic film thing, which we said we weren't going to refer to, of like fixing it in post-production? It's like, well, no, make sure you got it right before you go onto that bit. But
and I think the thing is as well is if we want comics to be for kids as well, to be, you know, there is a lot of comics out there that should have that cross appeal between adults and children. Don't over color it. Don't over render it because the kids ain't interested.
No.
Yeah. They want to see a monster and they want to see him fighting a robot. They don't want like mountains and trees and, you know, sunset and like flare and, you know, fire effects and stuff like that. Yeah. They don't want all that, you know.
There's something to be said for like if you're creating a comic that's just exclusively aimed for kid readers, shall we say.
Yeah.
All these flashy printing techniques that we talked about, hey, we love, but we're fully grown men. Yeah. Well, that's debatable.
Yeah,
but but kids don't care.
Look at the Phoenix.
Yeah. Yeah, the Phoenix is nice, a brilliant example.
Simple, strong artwork, bold colours.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at Gallant and Amos.
Yeah.
I'm editing a story of theirs at the moment, and it's just, that's all you need. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just works so well.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just simple, funny, full of character, nicely coloured, not overcomplicated.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there you go.
Oh, I think that one's put to bed. Done good on that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So
I've got two more.
Yeah, go for it.
Where do you draw this is from Tom Curry, this chucklehead. Hi Tom. Where do you draw the line with what is a comic? Tom's currently working on a very funny series that she sent through to me very kindly to have a look at. Of he's doing like it's sort of pixel art, isn't it? It's like a funny pixel art thing. And he's doing a sort of, he's thinking about animating a panel and he thinks, does this now cross the line into not being a comic?
No.
And my immediate answer to that, the first thing that came into my head is, I don't think we can be that fucking fussy, mate. We're all in it. We're gonna if we're not in it to win it together, we're gonna lose out. You know what
that's
I mean?
A comic. I don't think there's any kind of anything to go with that. It is a comic.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I've seen weird comics where they have an animated panel and then on the print, obviously it's not because it can't. But yeah, it's a comic. You're telling stories in a sequential format.
The important word you used there was panel. I think if you're using panels to tell a narrative. Most of the time,
Or a page.
Yeah,
you
it's a comic. It's
I used to be a bit of a snob around this. I have to say, I used to go, "Oh yeah, well that's not really comics, is it?" You know, and I'm like, and then I had my head turned by a lot of different people, a lot of different creators, and partly by Gareth Hopkins' books, which I will fight you if you said they're not a comic. Do you know what I mean? They're sort of they are. They are a comic. And I think that's the problem. I think people we do you remember we've had a series of these, haven't we, over the years? And we all remember these. We've had when people go on about, I don't read comics, I read graphic novels. And they just need stabbing in the eye. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then we had people who said, well, it's not really a comic, it's a motion comic. And I'm thinking, that's bollocks. I don't care. Stop talking rubbish. And then we're getting this with the zine popularity now. We're getting people saying they don't read comics, they read zines.
Yeah.
And that's a worrying split again, I think.
Yeah,
I don't understand the distinction.
I don't want us to stay together. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if it's got comic, if it's got art in it, and it's in a comic, it's in a magazine or a book or whatever, and it's got words and art, and it's to me, I don't really give a fuck. I will call it a comic, and I will read it.
And if you're making something and you call it a comic, you're already doing something that a lot of people probably aren't doing anyway. So
if you
call it a comic, then it's a comic.
It's a comic.
We'll read it. Do you know what I mean? It's as simple as that.
Tom sent me through some of that stuff because he's doing a bit of Viper work for me, and it's just absolutely gold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great stuff. Yeah.
What Tom is working on is great comics.
We've got a little story with Tom on the go, which you've seen V, haven't you? I think you've seen it, D.
Yes.
Good stuff. Yeah. Good stuff.
I mean, I've seen Pixel comics, which I'm kind of like, oh, God, look at that. And then the stuff that Tom's turning is like, that's fucking great. That's gold.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people think pixel comics you can kind of get away with not doing a lot and it'd be easy, but that's not the case.
Yeah,
I mean,
you almost have to do more a lot of the time.
Yeah, it's that age-old thing of an article I read during the week, which annoyed me greatly. It's like I can put in minimal effort and get maximum results, and that never applies to fucking anything. no. in life. And anyone who tells you that is telling you a fucking lie.
Yeah.
The article was this, for some reason, this young lady and her friends got featured on the New York Times in the culture section, and they tried to make a podcast.
Oh, this.
And they'd record six episodes on their iPhone, just sit around the iPhone in the bottom of the basement of the library. And after six episodes, they were complaining because they thought they would have massive endorsement deals and loads of stuff. And they self-admitted they didn't put any work into it. And it was just like, fuck's sake, how did he get to this kind of notion of I'm going to do fuck all work and become massively rich? And it's the self-admitting I didn't put any work in. But even to, how did it even get into the New York Times?
Slow news bizarre. Day. I mean, we've all had those moments, haven't we, that something we've worked on, we've spent ages and ages, and I'm sure there's a lot of creative people out there listening who will appreciate this. We've spent ages with blood, sweat and tears over this story, this prose, this commission, art page or whatever.
Yeah.
You put it out in the world. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
and that's it. You fucking fart something out over an afternoon,
love it.
And you've had more likes than you've ever had in your life.
Been there fucking many
times. We joke about it. No, bro. If I put a picture of a book out, it gets so many likes. If I put a picture of a book out with my dog sitting next to it, it's like four times the amount.
He needs to be on the salary, doesn't he? He needs to have a salary,
little
boy.
Bastard.
Yeah. I can't remember what I did one time when I had to sketch something, like a 5-minute sketch, and it got fucking loads. And then I put up like the Vanguard page, which I spent hours and hours on, and it got like three. And I was like, this is not an accurate representation of stuff. But I was like, fuck it. Because I always get, like, my wife says, oh, you should just, like, not do, like, the super kind of detailed stuff and just do sketch stuff because that looks really good. It's like, yeah, but, you know. And then, like, stuff like that comes along and proves they're right, which is the worst thing.
is that the problem you have, Dan? Yeah, never mind the likes and stuff. It's just the fact that your wife is right.
She's generally right all the time, but obviously you can't let her know that because you know the game.
That was a sexy picture of you working on the washing machine, though, this week.
Oh, that's fucking great.
Yeah, you have a proper rock and roll lifestyle, don't you, Dan?
The old Bosch washing machine, throwing up the E18 era. It's a classic. But had to go and sort that out.
Fucking hell, we're not going to get into washing machine talk. Jesus.
One of the best things about modern life is if I have a problem, I can look it up on YouTube and it'll tell me how to fix it and when I'm fucked. It's great. My dad had never had access to this. It was just like, oh, I said, ring up dad, I'm fucking things fucked. It's come around and sort it out now. Just look up for the video. Don't have to worry about him. Leave him in the home. He's not, my father's not in the home. Because I don't know about you guys, I'm pretty useless with DIY and all that stuff.
Yeah,
I'll give it a go and it normally goes badly and then we have to call someone in. That's generally sort of where I go with it. Yeah.
I mean, pull out the old computer and say you got a problem with that, I can usually get by, but
yeah.
You're learning so much. But yeah, so that was it. Was that question three?
That was question three.
Okay.
Yeah, essentially it was just we sort of rambled off on the point there, but everything's comics, don't worry about it, get on with it, there you go.
Yeah.
Right, if you listen to this podcast for some other reason, it's comics, you know.
Yeah,
the Wilco podcast is elsewhere. Go listen to that somewhere.
I can understand some anxiety. I can understand where Tom's coming from.
Yeah, he's a good lad, Tom. Yeah, he's just interesting.
He is doing comics, and
I know. I paid him.
Yeah, we even know some people aren't doing comics.
Some people are being paid and still ain't doing them.
Scallywags.
Oh dear, that's not me. Anyone wonders.
Yeah. That's a story for another time.
Yeah. That might be a story one day. We'll see how we get on.
We'll see. Okay, right. Question, the last one of the episode, shall we say.
Do you want to take it? Let's call it a cautionary tale. There you go. It's a question from last week's guest, Rich. Sorry I wasn't here, Rich. I almost died, but I tried to make it. Good episode. Thank you for coming on. He's asked us to say who we would out of comic book characters, who would you bed, befriend, and behead? So, bed, befriend, and behead.
Right. Okay.
Who's going to go first?
Right, are we going to do, as you can tell, this one's going to go completely off the rails, folks, so yeah. Buckle up. Do we want to do each one, our all choice right. for what each one? So we do the bed, and then we all say our choices, then befriend, and then, yeah.
I'm floundering on this one, but let's go.
Right, okay.
I'll go first then. I'll go on bed.
Yeah.
Late death. That's fucking filth, isn't it?
No! Fucking hell!
That's teach you a lesson good. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Can't go wrong with that.
Probably murder you mid-ejaculation.
Oh.
Just go for it. Go for it. Go for it once. You
hang
die
on.
After.
I've got to make a note of at what second this episode went tits up. Right, okay.
Yeah, they might not hear this bit. They might get on the cutting room floor.
Okay, then. Right. Dan, do you want to go next?
Pretty much any female character drawn by Jim Lee.
You've got to give one. Come on.
Go on. Pick one.
Probably Cyclops.
Cyclops?
That's a bit of a slip. Yeah. Something on tennis.
Cyclops. Yeah. You know what I mean.
You've heard it here five first.
Yeah.
Episode 211.
I said,
that's got me.
And Vince.
What? My pick?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you were saying Vince. I thought that was your answer.
Sadly, Vince is not a comic book character.
I've been drawn in a few panels, I'll have you know.
Yes, thank you.
all right. It's a toss up.
It's got to be bed. No, like I'd like a cuddle. I know what you're like.
No. It's like full on.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, full on. You know.
Yeah.
Mary Jane Watson.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
Drawn by who though? Who's drawn her?
Oh, take your pick.
Romita.
Or Larson.
Andrew. Yeah, Larson.
Yeah. He likes the busty lady, Larson, doesn't he?
Yeah.
We're going to have to ask him that one day.
We are.
I think it's fairly obvious, to be honest.
You're going to be all right with Scott Summers, though, aren't you?
Dan Summers.
I don't think the one he's drawn by Jim Lee.
It's 500 Days of Summers.
Oh, where are you, Dan? Oh, me and Scott are on our honeymoon in Madripoor.
If he's too busy, he can always give Havoc a shout.
What a love triangle that is.
Yeah. Oh, my God, that touches a number of bases I want to go to.
Yeah. Okay, right. So,
put Havoc up my bumhole.
Is that a verb? Or is that... Let's face it, after a curry, it often is.
I thought it was carnage.
Do I like a jubilee up my anus?
Jesus Christ. Oh, right. Where were we?
Is this befriend?
Well, now we're befriend. So you go first, V, on this one. Go on.
Oh, who would I befriend? This is the sort of person you'd, go down the pub with, wouldn't it? To have a chat with.
Yeah, your mate.
Oh, dear. Now, I want to... this is a tricky sort of three-section question, isn't it, really? But probably Tony Stark, because then he could pick up the bill.
He's an alcoholic, though. You'd have to be careful.
I know. I realised when I said it.
When he came off the wagon, it'd be great.
Yeah. What a laugh we had.
What a laugh.
When he was doing DJing in his armour. Fine. Accidentally killed the Crimson Dynamo.
Right, well, oh, God. No, I'm going to stick with that one because it's funny. So there you go.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to go with the next one. I'm going to go with Armstrong from Archer and Armstrong. Real name, Aram.
That's a good choice.
Yeah.
I think me and him would get on all right.
Mm.
Yeah, I think he's got a special bag with secret things in it, so that's quite cool. He can drink till he's like, he could drink under the table because he's sort of almost immortal, isn't he? He likes a beer, likes to go out, good laugh, always getting in hijinks. Yeah, and obviously looks a little bit like me.
Yeah, so he does. Yeah.
It could be like me, him, and Fat Russell Crowe. We'd all look all right, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, after, because I've been in hospital, I've grown a beard. I look a bit, you know, when Jim Carrey went, there's those pictures of him when he went nuts.
Mm.
That's kind of what I look like now. That's like,
looks like the look you're going for.
Yeah, I've just come out of an institution or something like that. I look a bit strange.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to go for Logan.
Okay.
Because I can swag around the pub all night, like giving it the Barry. I'm going to give me shit. Like...
You might have a problem.
Look around and give him the nods. Like,
yeah, kill him.
Kill him. Shank him in the bathroom.
Is that just in case you have any problems when Scott Summers says, "Why aren't you calling me?"
I'm with Wolverine. This has happened to me before.
I'd probably get endless shit from Wolverine for hooking up with Scott. So I'd probably be getting ribbed about that all night.
Gina would go Dark Phoenix on you for that, wouldn't she?
Yeah.
Your best friend Wolverine and your lover Scott. She'd go full on. Yeah. You wouldn't live that one down, would you?
And getting down on the old one eye. Got Cyclops. You know what I'm talking about.
We're getting chip this episode. Yeah. We're there now. It's going to go badly.
Fucking hell.
And the final one is... Oh, has everyone given their answer for that one? Yeah, we've all done that one, haven't we?
Yeah.
Final one is Behead. Who would we like to behead? I'm going to go first. And I'm sorry this is a film reference. But that bloke who plays Shazam, because that's what we now call him, apparently, in the movie. And he does that... What's that stupid dance where your arms go either side?
Floss.
Fucking hell, mate. Flossing. Fuck. Like, really? Gurning. And this has been translated into comics, this sort of feeling of the characters in there. I gave up after one issue because it was just like baby talk comics, and I'm like, stop blowing bubblegum and pretending I'm tired. Like, all right, we know you're desperate for fame, calm down.
Yeah,
you know, behead him. I would literally take his head off with a sword.
Fucking hell. It's got dark.
Yeah, it's pretty vitriolic there.
Yeah,
I would go pretty for the Joker. Just like, look, we've had enough of this. I'm going to give Batman a bit of a time off.
Yeah, like, he's not really going to have time off, is he? Have you seen the size of his rogues gallery?
Yeah, I guess that if you chop one head off, that sends out like a message. Like, you know, there's no Arkham Asylum anymore, mate.
Yeah, you're going to get beheaded.
The fucking guillotine.
Is the bloke in the other bit of the DC Universe been beheaded for blowing bubblegum? What was happening to him?
Jesus Christ.
There's no delineation between good or bad. It's just...
Yeah, just full on Punisher. Put a foot out wrong, you get killed.
Okay, who would I behead? And just like, you know, permadeath. It's one that's already been named Wolverine.
Really?
Purely. And this is from someone that, when I was a kid... And the brown and tan, the sort of that suit was my favourite character, and I didn't know too much about him. I think it's just too much. The mystery has been spoiled.
Yeah.
He's been in too many comics. We had a little bit of a break. Great. What's happening during that break? Oh, the old man version's in it now, is it? And then.
Well, I don't know. He's still about, but I have to say, do we really need Wolverine and the Infinity Watch? Do we really need that comic?
I don't need Wolverine in any of my comics, to be honest. And that sounds crazy.
I quite like the character. I really like the character. I'm a favourite, it's like you. But I think he just. Yeah, you're right. Let's just put him in Uncanny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to do anything else for a while.
The Joss Whedon run, I thought he was great in that.
Yeah, because just a member of the team, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Sort
of like a grumpy, hard drinking bit of a badass, and he wasn't the focal attention all the time, but I'm a badass, and
that's what he was in the Cochrane and Burn and Claremont and stuff like that, and Paul Smith and Claremont.
There's this thing about comics, and this goes the same for Batman. I mean, people will probably argue with, like I said, this was all our opinions and stuff.
Yeah,
my personal opinion that it's that Wolverine is like Batman as well. They push them to be the leader of teams because they're popular. And if you ask me, they're not leaders. They're fantastic team members, but Batman.
They don't want to be in the team, to be fair.
Yeah. You know. And yeah, Wolverine wants to be part of the X-Men because it's like a family, but that doesn't mean he's, you know, should be leading all the teams and stuff. It can be done well, like, you know, Remender's Uncanny X-Force and stuff.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking about. It was almost like a covert kind of
that was good
death
stuff.
Squad, wasn't it? You know? Yeah.
I always thought he's got like, kind of like looking after the younger ones and seeing them through and like a kind of bit of a mentor role as opposed to kind of the straight up leader roles of equals to him.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean?
If you're going to say Wolverine for that reason, you've got to say Deadpool for that reason too.
Yeah.
There's enough Deadpool out there at the moment. Yeah. Why is he on teams? Why is he? Is he Avengers at one point, for God's sake?
And that was another character that when Remender used him in X-Force, he used him in the way that I like to read Deadpool. Yeah. He was a fucking badass. Hello? He wasn't joking all the time. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean, man. I like Wolverine, but I get what you're saying.
But they every company's kind of guilty of doing that. They get like, oh, this character's big, and then suddenly he's in every.
I understand it. Yeah.
And I wish you didn't do it.
Yeah, people enjoy these books, and if you are enjoying these books, then more power to you. You know.
Same with Venom, Carnage.
Oh, I'll tell you one thing that I'm just. You know, we were saying, we were saying this sort of off the air, actually, some of the things that we're tired of. I actually thought it was part of the show then. That's why I had to stop myself.
Worried what you said.
But, the Carnage thing is so upfront at the moment. You know, the symbiotes are, like, just everywhere.
Yeah.
And I think we may get burnt out on them a little bit.
I'm
tired of I'm tired of like all the heroes or in the Marvel Universe suddenly having a symbiote. It seems like that's been for fucking ages.
Yeah, but, or having an Infinity Stone. That's another favourite at the moment.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like we come up an idea or concept, and rather than make more ideas, it's just keep going back to that one. That's a good idea. That won't fucking dilute it, will it?
I think really we need to strip it back. I think if it was me, which it will never be, but if it was me, let's strip everything back. Everyone gets a run of their own stories in their own comic.
Yeah, no big crossover events.
We don't need the Avengers in every issue. We don't need the X-Men in every issue. No. We don't need this. And then you can do a crossover, a limited one.
Yeah.
You know, not everything needs to fucking be an event these days or be tied into an event, you know.
I used to find the events really discouraging because I was like, oh, fucking hell.
Yeah,
like now I've got to get all these other titles to kind of have a clue what the hell is going on.
And they put weak stuff out. They slide weak stuff in. Like War of the Realms, there's a couple of one-shots there with like short stories in it, and you think, that's rubbish.
Yeah.
Why is that even there? You know? Mm. Doesn't
almost
serve
like
a story.
Filler.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well.
But there we go.
Well, it's been a belly-aching episode, this one.
A bit belly-aching, yeah.
Yep. And we knew it was going to go off the rails at some point, and it did.
Yeah.
I haven't laughed at it in quite some time, especially on this episode. God knows what the edit is going to be like when I get to it. But thank you.
But thanks to everyone who wrote in. Loads of names, like Simon Russell, Dave Kennedy.
Yeah.
You know, loads of people wrote in. Led Sharp, Sam Webster, Phil McFarland, Kieran Squires, Nick Bryan, Zach Cobb, Matt Strott, John Bernales, Tom as well. Stuart Moraine, there's load, Dave Brown, John Bishop, loads of people wrote in. Really kind of you. Thanks a lot for very, very, a lot of them really good questions.
Yeah,
yeah, good.
In some way, at some point. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we may take some of the questions and use for potential future topics as well, because you know it is a case of like we don't necessarily want to focus, you know, because some of these questions were so good that
there was a great one by Easton Pettigrew, which was about people working prior to the millennium. Who would we employ? Who would we get on a title and stuff like that? I really liked that question. 4% of question through as well. Yeah, some really good stuff. Yeah,
yeah,
go to the Facebook group and have a look. And if I think you should really turn it into a chat. I think about a lot of stuff on there.
So yeah, thank you very much for those. But now on with the rest of the show. Do we have any shout outs this week, gents? We've got a few, haven't we? It's a little bit of a Kickstarter party this week in the shout outs, isn't it?
Shall I do my non-Kickstarter one to start with then?
Go for
yes.
it.
Congratulations, absolutely over the moon, and never has there been a more deserving winner than Lorena Alvarez, who won the Russ Manning Newcomer Award for Nightlights and Hickety, which if anyone's ever experienced me standing behind a no-brow table, sell themselves. You've just got to open the book and people buy those books in droves. They are some of the most beautiful art you will see, and over the moon she won it. I was up at 6 a.m. yesterday, texting Sam and Zoe and everything, and saying like, we've just won, we've just won. Oh, nothing to do with me, but you know. So that's 2 years running now. Nobrow have won the Russ Manning Newcomer Award, which goes to show how they look after new talent, which I'm really, really, really chuffed about. You know,
yeah,
good pick. Yeah. And Lorena is an outstanding artist. Can't wait to see what she does next.
Yeah,
there you go.
Without a doubt. Yeah.
My next one is the Cognition Kickstarter. I had a coffee with Ken just before I went into hospital, actually. Oh, that's suspicious. with Ken, and he showed me some of the stuff he was doing for his Kickstarter. And if you go look up Cognition on Kickstarter, go and pledge to it. There's some great extras. He's got like a box file for it. He's got like a bookmark, which is a sort of metal brass bookmark, which looks lovely. Some really great stuff. He's a man who takes care in the details, Ken, and it really shows in these sort of Kickstarters. Go and have a look at that one. It's doing well, but could do with a few more, so get on that one.
Nice. I've got a couple of shout outs. First up is a Kickstarter, might as well start with that one, and that is for Lad the Homecoming by Umar Ditter. He's a writer, artist is Carlos Pedro, letterer is Kerry Smith. This is, I mean, it's already made.
Is it the editor good. Hugo Boylan on that one?
It is indeed, yeah. Yeah, good old Hugo as well. Yep. And this is a beautiful looking book.
It's got the C bomb on one of these pages.
Oh, really? Oh, my word.
So look, there's the F and C.
Oh, my word, nice. Yeah. And basically, it's a sort of a crime book, kind of with a difference, about the family who conduct their criminal activities from the Beacon Lodge. They've been there for a while, and everyone knows that the town belongs to the family. There is, however, one place where no family member would dare set foot: the forest. Now, I think there's lots of strangeness going on. Judging by some of the art, it gets a little bit sort of creepy, supernatural. The art is absolutely stunning. It's a black and white book, and do you know what I mean? They do a great thing on this Kickstarter. They show you the page, you know, there's a little bit of an intro, then they show you the pages, and the proof is in the pudding. And I think that's quite important to a lot of Kickstarters. Show people what they're going to get.
Yeah.
And that would, and there's lots of like stretch goals being added, some lovely prints. Definitely check out the Kickstarter. Yeah, well worth your time.
Nice.
So, and my second one is a big shout out to Barry Nugent and the Geek Syndicate podcast.
Oh yeah, I'm listening to this tomorrow. I've got it ready to listen to.
Because The Fool asked me to be on the show, so I'm on the latest episode, and we're doing a little. We had several sort of subjects lined up, but you know, something a bit about news, a topic, and then some other bits, and we just got carried away just chatting about like podcasting, and that essentially became most of the show. Cool. Yeah, it was a good laugh, and yeah, Barry's a really good bloke, doing a lot of work, and you know, he worked hard on that show, so definitely check it out.
Nice one.
Yeah. I listened to that today. It was really good. I was going to shout that out because, yeah, I really enjoyed that show. Good, it was a good one. Nice, natural back and forth between the two of you.
Yeah. Oh, good.
So
Barry may have been drinking wine, and I had a cup of tea. So
yeah. You're so rock and roll.
I know.
Hunt.
So I've got a Kickstarter shout out. Last week's show we had Rich on for Mahoney's. Mahoney's issue 2, the Kickstarter. It's been running for a week now. It's going great guns. Definitely check that out. I'm currently working on a print for the Kickstarter, which I'm very happy to be doing so.
Oh, nice work, man. Yeah. I bet that your style suits that, definitely.
Yeah, yeah, I feel like that kind of chunky style does me proud on things. And also on... I appeared on Y Comics.
Yes, that's really good.
Episode 3.
Well.
Lots of fun. Cheers.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. Yeah.
Got to talk bollocks about comics as we do on this show, but just me and Stuart. So
becoming a really interesting show. That I have to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So people are really coming at it at different angles, and I'm really enjoying the people he's having on it. Really, really good stuff.
Yeah. Because I listened to your one, and then it was very personal. And then John's about like how he did stuff, and I tried to sort of mix up a bit. And the story of kind of like how I got into comics and reading comics as a kid and as a teen. It's great to tell those kind of stories.
It's open. It's an open question. It doesn't have to be by someone who creates comics. It can just be someone who loves comics or reads them or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
There's all sorts of ways you can come at that, I think, you know?
I think I gave a big shout out to Kingdom and Nobrow retweeted.
Yeah, Nobrow retweeted it. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's really, I'm just absolutely amazed by that book. And every time I pick it up, I love it.
Good man.
So,
It's a good book. I've got you another little present from his stable of work as well when I see you next
time. Ah, nice. Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
So that's all my shout-outs.
Lovely. Yeah. So lots of cool shout-outs to check out this week. Now let's send you off with some recommendations. And I think, because Tony hasn't been here for a little bit, you should go first, Tony. Take it away.
Oh, thank you. Mine's a Kickstarter.
What was that? Oh, thank you.
Oh, thank you. I've turned into... is it Howard? What's his name? He was in Carry On Nurse.
Yeah,
Frankie Howard.
Frankie Howard.
Yeah, he's my idol while I was away. mine's a Kickstarter I got from Spicy Pulp Comics called Lady Redbeard, issue one. I sent you some scans of this through some pictures as I was reading it. It's by JV, Justin Gray. He writes all the stories, and there's the main story is Lady Redbeard, which is the one I'm going to talk about, but there are some other stories in it as well. Have you read any of Justin's work for DC and stuff like that, guys?
No.
No.
You might have done, actually. You might have done it without knowing. He did a lot with work with Palmiotti. He's responsible for over 100 issues of Jonah Hex.
Oh, wow.
From he did stuff with Darwin Cook on there, and all some great standalone one-off two-issue stories, which is just really just beautiful Western stories. It's really well told. And then he went on to, became All-Star Western when the New 52 started, and Moritat was on the art, and he wrote some of those as well. Some really good stuff. He's done stuff with DC and he's done stuff with Marvel, and he's a really good writer. And we chat occasionally on Instagram, and he very kindly backed Springworth and had a chat with me about it, and it was very kind about it. So I pay attention to what he does, and he put this book out. So I'm just going to focus on the first story, which is Lady Redbeard. And when you see it, I sent you some pictures, but there's a lot of Milo Manara running through the art on this.
Okay.
Very, I would say, influenced probably by Milo Manara. He's got that European action pirate story thing going on at the start when you read it, full of the Redcoats are basically attacking a galleon, a sort of pirate galleon, and she is the captain, Lady Redbeard. There's a touch of the sort of pirate Red Sonja about her, possibly. Two swords, one in each hand, there's a lot of blood. She's slicing the red coat's heads off and stuff like that, and it just really, really goes to it. She sort of swings down on ropes and real lovely, slightly muted apart from maybe her red hair in some of the pages. Lovely artwork. There's just action, Euro comics kind of feel to it. She's not particularly successful. She gets captured at some point in it, and you're reading it and you're thinking, this is like just a big dose of the uber violence, it's slightly sexy as well. And then suddenly a sea monster jumps out from the sea and destroys the ship. Fucking hell, shouts Lady Redbeard as it comes out of the sea. It's got that sort of disrespectful element to it, it's good like that. And then she wakes up on a beach. Her boobs are out, obviously, because it's comics and the sort of comics that I read. And she's woken up by her crew and they decide to go and explore. And you think, OK, well, this is a pirate book. This is what I'm thinking about it. This is like a pirate book and there's a sea monster and, they've lost their ship and they've been stranded on this island and, they need to probably get attacked or something. And then they walk around the corner and and I'm going to describe this because it's not a full spoiler because it happens 5 or 6 pages in. And there are much, much more sort of extreme things happen. But they discover a downed space shuttle. So it's just a space shuttle on the beach.
Oh, okay.
All right.
And you think, oh, right, fuck me, where's this going? And they go inside the space shuttle. Inside it is this sort of feathered raptor kind of dinosaur creature who's eating the innards of a dead spaceman in a spacesuit who's sort of slightly mummified in the suit. And it's just suddenly just throws you. Yeah, and you think, no, I'm liking where this is going. This is off the rails. This is going somewhere. It's not just a pirate books can be interesting depending on how they're done, but this one just goes somewhere else, and you discover there's dinosaurs on the island and they have to fight to survive. But then the craziness doesn't stop there. I won't spoil the end of it, but there's something happens. You think, well, I wasn't expecting that. But genuinely, that out of nowhere, something happens. And he throws everything at this book. And the artist, whose name is, Diego Guerra, he coloured and lettered it as well. Diego goes with it. He's up for the game. You can see he's multiple people in panels, and there's stacked panels, and there's really great designs going on, and it just punched me just exactly where I wanted, exactly what I wanted at that time. It's fun, crazy, outrageous, violent, sexy action, and there's a couple of other things in the book as well. There's a load of other material. There's loads of pinups. There's a there's an alternate pinup, I think, one. It's like with top on, without top on. It's like that. It's just made me chuckle. There you go. That's what you want, isn't it? There's a tech story, black and white comics and pinups. And it's kind of small trade size, I suppose, really. I backed it on Kickstarter. I'll be back in the second issue as soon as it goes up. Spicy Pulp Comics, if you look for them. Or if you just look for jvgray.com. You can go to spicypulpcomics.com, or Justin's got a Patreon, patreon.com/JVGrayComics. And he's a really good writer. He's like a really accomplished imaginative writer who knows how to thread a story together. Go and read some of his Jonah Hex stuff as well. I just love it. Just clever. You know, the stuff he did with the Darwin cookbooks, and, you know, just amazing, amazing stuff. Yeah, so that's Lady Redbeard, issue one. That's my one.
Nice. Dan, what have you got?
I've got Mox Nox by Joan Cornella. We've discussed it briefly before we came on the show. Some Fantagraphics, absolutely lovely. We're talking about printing earlier. Absolutely lovely print book. It's kind of a series of humorous, very dark comics, usually between 4 and 2 panels per page. And, yeah... it's really, really top shelf, really up there. I mean, I can't really do it justice by kind of describing it on air. But if you go to this chap's Instagram or Twitter, he does post them on there. And essentially, this book is a collection of some of them. Yeah. And they're just absolutely brutal. Really, really dark.
I think there was an artwork exhibition in London a couple of months ago, wasn't there?
Was it really? I missed that.
Featuring this stuff, yeah.
I follow him on Instagram. He's worth a follow. He disappears for a while because he keeps getting banned.
Yeah, I can see why.
People keep complaining. But I think it's satirically, he's really clever.
Yes, it is satire. Really, it's pure
satire.
It really does feel like, you know, the sort of brass eye, you know, day-to-day, that kind of...
Very much so. Yeah.
But like, the characters have this kind of like 1950s style, like blank expression where they're kind of like this hollow, empty, smiling face that all the characters have, and they do something atrocious or something atrocious happens to them, they've still got this face.
And again, what we were talking about earlier, stylized color. The color in that is flat, style, and you know, uncomplicated, and it works for those stories.
Yeah.
You know, really interesting use of color, actually, because it's almost like too bright sometimes, isn't it, to reflect the sort of downbeat of the story, you know?
Yeah.
So there's one here where, like, there's a guy getting into the shower and he turns it on and all this kind of, like, pink slime comes over him. So he follows the hose out. It goes out the window of his house and into the woods, and then it's just attached to like this big red dog, like it's humanoid, and this is his knob.
Yeah, I mean, it's quality.
It's fucking out there. Yeah, definitely check it out. Yeah.
But there are ones that are, you know, satirical in the fact that if you're uncomfortable with it, it's doing its job.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it's supposed to be doing. It kind of challenges
very challenging. Yeah. It really does. It's like that one you bought me, Dan. Was it Onions? What's that guy?
Oh, yes. I know the one.
Similar sort of style, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sort of four-panel grid thing, yeah, which really works. Yeah. Yeah.
So definitely check that out. Okay, my pick this week is one we had on the emails. This is a creator that I've mentioned before. Their work is available on like Comic House, like the Citric Arc. Do you remember when I talked about that?
Yes.
Yeah, a few months ago. Well, this is a new series by the creator JWC called Lost Time, issue one of which I think is already on Comic House as we speak. It is print on Comic Central and Comixology as well. And basically, there's going to be 7 issues, and Lost Time is basically an anthology of stories about the irretrievable past, the opaque future, and the choices available in the moments in between the two. Like I said, I mean, I'm a big fan of this creator's work. And I don't think I've read the first Lost Time, actually, but they very kindly sent through issues 2 and 3 to us. And the first one, I read them out of order. It's almost like an anthology TV show. You don't have to read them in order, I don't think, you know, because everyone is a fresh story by itself. And the first one I'm going to talk about and basically focus on is issue 3, which is called Menagerie. And this is basically, against her grandfather's warnings, Ren attempts to enter the outside world. Through her attempts, she learns distressing truths and begins to question her surroundings. Now, that may seem fairly straightforward, but this is an absolutely stunning comic book in terms of, like, page layout. I was just sort of blown away by it. There's characters sort of, it's almost dreamlike. It's almost like there's a character trapped in this sort of space, and there's the voice of the grandfather. You never see this figure sort of saying, don't move, you know, don't enter the green. A lot of it's all very green, and like,
okay,
there's stuff beyond the panels. There's like textures and colors and very like dark greens and stuff. And the voice of the grandfather saying, don't leave, because it's basically, it's rotted. You shouldn't leave. But this character wants to explore and push beyond the boundaries. But this is also done within the sequential panels as well. You know, okay, there's wonderful sort of curves and textures, and the character sort of breaks out of panels and looks out of panels. And I mean, the first two panels of the book itself give that sort of dreamlike quality, but they're beautiful. It's, you see like a bird on a branch, and the curve of its wing looks like an eye. And the next panel is,
okay,
is the girl's eye, and it almost has the same sort of shape. And normally, this is something that maybe I think in Comixology, Guided View, don't use it. You don't want to use,
right,
it something like this, because the page design, every page is a joy. You know, it doesn't stick to a 9-panel grid sort of structure. It uses the frame to encapsulate circles, and the narrative flows, and there's strange sort of spiral shapes going through it, and sort of real. There's like diamonds, and you know the borders between panels begin to make up shapes of like cubes and diamonds, and there's figures with, you know, faces within them.
Sounds brilliant, man.
There's so much going on in this. I mean, seriously, dude, like, you just have to look at some of the pages of this Lost Time 3 and you just think, that's beautiful stuff. And I know when I was looking at the Citric arc, and I loved that because that was a more sort of like a human story. It was lots of sadness, and you know, there's a lot of deep sort of themes and thoughts going through this creator's work, which I always appreciate. And it's to initially quickly look at the page doesn't do it justice. I think you need to read it from page one, and before you know it, you're just drawn into this story in a way you just didn't expect. And Menagerie is very dreamlike in a sense, but it does have a firm narrative that goes through it. So by the end, I was like, ah, I know that this is almost an allegory for something. It's there's a lot more going on. You know, you can see how this message in this story would quite easily represent, you know, real life in certain ways.
Yeah.
Whereas Lost Time is lots of different tales as well. For instance, the second issue, I'll just briefly talk about this, called The Grown-Up Game. And it's about a guy named Joel who's basically unexpectedly given custody of a son he never met. So this guy has to decide, you know, what does he do? You know, he has to look after this kid now, but does he want to? And he looks upon his past and stuff. And this is one that issue three struck me straight away. So that, you know, I read that one first. And this one is a lot softer in its storytelling. And there's, you know, I think this creator works digitally. So it's a lot more softer and like seems like sort of pastely in its colours. So I wasn't so immediate. There was nothing to immediately, you know, visually draw me in, as it were, apart from the fact that I just love the style of, you know, the way this creator draws characters. But upon reading it, it was just, I was done between the 26 pages just flowed by. And it leaves you with a thought-provoking but really a nice feeling at the same time as well. Characters are layered in the short space of time that you have. You get a sense of what's going on. There's heartbreak, there's tragedy, there's also hope for the future. It's a really, really interesting series, this. So I'm going to go back to issue
one.
I'm
going to give this a go.
And they are, it seems like it's an anthology series, so I like the, you know, they're trying different things for each type of story, but at the same time they're mixing up their art style. And like the sort of the way that
This is on Comic House, or
The first issue is on Comic House. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the next two will be going up shortly. That listeners to the show as well. So yeah.
Oh, cool.
But they said because the release schedule is staggered between different platforms, it's difficult for them to know when to send out comics for review, and like, you know, don't know when it's going to hit. So just sent us a couple of ones to sort of peruse at our leisure, as it said in, cool. in the email. So, yeah, I love this creator's work. I mean, the Citric Arc as well, I've noticed a real development, because I love the Citric Arc, which is a graphic novel that you can read on Comic House now. I think it's available on like Comic Century and Comixology as well. But,
right.
But I remember saying at the time, you know, there's some wonderful stuff, but the lettering probably needs a little work. It seems a bit basic.
Okay.
In these, it's already moved on. That wasn't an issue. I think there was maybe an issue for me that with the voice of the grandfather in the third issue, it would be nicer if that's done in sort of like square narrative boxes. Maybe that could have been a couple of shades darker just to differentiate that from the main character's speech bubbles. But that's a minor gripe for something that I absolutely adored. So I'm definitely going to check out more of this creator's work. I'm on board for the whole thing. So definitely check out Lost Time. The Twitter is at JWC, which is JAYDUBEAUCEE. And the website is jwcstory.com. So definitely check them out. And thank you very much for sending the issues through, because
I'm nice one, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is one I wanted to talk about a couple of weeks ago, but it was when I finally sat down to, you know, a cup of coffee and just read through them, it was just one of the best parts of my weekend, to be honest, reading these.
Nice one, man. So,
so, you know, listening to your smooth jazz-like tones, Tony, is always and there you go, folks. So another one's in the bag. We're back and cooking with gas again, and we hope you enjoyed this episode. It went a bit mental and a bit not safe for work in certain points.
I look forward to getting grief over that tomorrow.
Let's hope so.
Yes, we're all going to get grief in some way, shape or form.
And if you want to do fan art of Dan with Scott Summers.
Oh, no, please.
Feel free not to.
Yes, because don't forget, Dan's a good artist himself, and he also knows Photoshop. So be careful how you treat him.
And this is a family show, so...
What family is that? Happened? Is that the family from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre? Yeah. Jesus Christ.
I'm turning the nose up at this.
Yeah. But we hope you enjoyed this episode and all that it contained. Like I say, these were our opinions and our thoughts, but and hopefully we didn't upset anyone too much. If we did upset you, or maybe you just want to virulently agree with us away from social media, then you can email us awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter at The Awesome Pod, where we'll be announcing upcoming guests, different kinds of things. We've got some exciting stuff lined up for the next couple of months, so stay tuned to that. If you do the Book of Faces, go to facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast. And like we've been talking about this magical group a lot, but they are a fantastic community of people, and that is the Facebook group Awesome Comics Talk, which is really the only place you need to go to Facebook for to join that group and get involved. And it's people that just talk about comics, you know, making comics, conventions, just general thoughts, and it's proper grown-up discussion, which I love, without anyone sort of shamelessly trying to plug their Kickstarter.
We haven't done much of that this week, actually. We had a very
sort of sensible email sort of saying, what's the deal with Kickstarters on here? So we responded and they were like, okay, well, I thought I'd ask. And that's the way that's the way it should be.
And they got a shout out today.
And they got a shout out. So there you go. So join that Facebook group, and thank you for listening to us, whether it was on the website, awesomecomics.podbean.com. If you listen to us on iTunes, subscribe, leave a review. We haven't had one for a while and we're
depressed.
We're just a little bit depressed. How do you feel about it, Dan?
Ambivalent.
Oh, God, I love him. It helps get the word out about the show and more people find out about these great comic books and the nonsense that we talk. Thank you. If you listen to us on a network of some kind, like Stitcher, Podnose, Podknife, what other networks are we on, Tony?
We're on Pod Jimmy Jangles.
That's the network I use. You can find us on there. Where can people find us online, etc., Mr. Esmond?
Neverideanything.blogspot.co.uk. I promise that'll be back online. I've had a couple of weeks of nothing, but it's got some
understandably.
Yeah, dude. Thank you, man. To be honest, you don't need to rush to get back to anything, really.
Oh, I know. I do miss comics. I had those few days. I did miss it. And S-O-S-E-Z-O-H-Y-Z on Twitter, which I became more active. People could tell I was better because I was on Twitter.
Yeah.
It's all mad world, isn't it? But there you go.
Yeah. Dan?
You can find me on Twitter at Vanguard Comic, and you can read Vanguard at vanguardcomic.com or on Comic House. It's all in there.
Nice. He's going to be a busy boy. He's got lots of comic book artwork to do, and he's been doing some other stuff that we've been privy to. And that's, you're smashing it, Dan.
Yeah, you know what? Bear in mind, we're not putting out a comic at the moment. We're busier than we ever been.
We
I don't think we told you about it yet, Dan. But me and V discussed something earlier about a new project. So there's a few things happening.
Oh,
aren't
nice.
Yeah.
My break from doing Vanguard is usually working on other comics.
Yeah,
right, so
never really.
you never stop.
Never breaking.
Yeah.
I had to stop the other day. I was feeling a bit fucking just worn out of it. I was like, oh, I need a day off.
Yeah. There's something to be said for having a break from comics and stuff at the moment.
Smelling the roses, baby.
Yeah. Exactly. God, you're so smooth, isn't he? Anyway, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Jester Diablo, where normally it'll either be shit drawings or pictures of cats. And if you can find out more about my comic at The Red
You've
Mask.
You've been getting some strength to strength.
You have been, man.
Yeah. What, my cats?
Yeah. I know that a well-known publisher picked you out to do some creative work today, so, you know.
There you go.
I missed
the San Diego Comic Con.
Yeah, we'll be announcing that at San Diego tomorrow. Oh, is it finished? Fuck.
Be a San Diego bus stop, that's what it'll be. yeah, you can find out more about my comic at theredmaskfrommars.com. Thank you very much for listening, folks. I would say regular service will be resumed next week, but there's no regular service because we do whatever the fuck we want every week, and we just give you comic talk. And that's all you're here for. But look forward to next week because you're going to be quite excited when we announce who it's going to be. Yeah. That's all I'm going to say. And I think we can all say it's good to have you back, Tony.
Thank Definitely. You, man. Good to be back.
Yeah. Now, thank you for listening from Dan, Tony and myself. Have a brilliant week. And instead of the usual thing, Tony, is there anything you want to say to anyone before we sign off?
Oh, God, what have I meant to say? What am I meant to say now?
That'll do. Bye, everyone.
Stay sexy. Bye.
Stay sexy.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I like that. Go on, say it again.
Stay sexy.
Yes. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
See ya.